What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. This is going to be my quickest intro ever because we have Patrick Gates at Gator Betting on Laying the Points with Farley Betts today to talk the Kentucky Derby. Great, great conversation and long overdue with Pat, bringing him on Laying the Points. He's been awesome at the Odds Breakers for, I think, 2+ years running now. One of the best writers in the betting industry, if you ask me. And great conversation. You know, just a good time talking about the Kentucky Derby, how to bet it, how to approach it. If you don't know, you should know. My name is Chris R. Farley, a.k.a. at Farley Betts on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, or TikTok for all your sports betting needs. Laying the Points is a weekly sports betting podcast where we talk to you and try to inform you about the proper sports betting strategies and philosophies to win short-term and long-term. Not talking down to you, talking like you're one of the boys or one of the gals or one of the gang, just trying to sports bet and win some money for your family. We get it. We get it. We're trying to do the same thing. Check me out on the BetUS NBA show 3 times a week, Monday through Wednesday. And in case you don't know, I am a professional sports bettor. 114K cash prize in circa 2 years ago, 57% career percentage in the NBA over the last 2 seasons. This season, a little more challenging, but we're doing good in the playoffs so far. I've been doing really well for a few months now, so things are ticking up after a rough start. Anywho, too much of me. Let's get to Patrick Gates at Gator Betting and a fabulous writer at the Odds Breakers here on Laying the Points to talk the Kentucky Derby. Welcome back, everybody, to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. And man, oh man, this guest that I'm having on the podcast today, it feels like he is way overdue to have on Laying the Points. And Pat, I'm going to just give a little backstory here. I think it was like 2 years ago now or so, but I remember seeing this guy's post. I think it was on Instagram, and just the way that he put out his picks, but not only displayed them like in like a really professional way, but they were really comprehensive. And I was like, this guy would be gold at the Odds Breakers. Sure enough, he's a writer at the Odds Breakers now. You have a podcast called Expected Bets. I know you talk about hockey on there. I'm sure you talk about horse racing and some other things. Patrick Gates at Gator Betting, finally on Laying the Points with Farley Betts. Man, it's great to have you here, Pat. And it's great to talk some horse racing with an expert.
Yeah, I really appreciate the invite. And yeah, I mean, crazy how time flies. You know, I remember getting that DM from you on Instagram and then kind of just seeing what that's led to has been something else. But no, again, really appreciate you having me on and excited to talk some Derby.
Yeah, it's one of those things where like, you know, because I remember when Kiev gave me my opportunity at the Odds Breakers. It's up to you, right? You kind of take the keys and you run with it because he's such a nice guy. You know, like he kind of lets you do whatever you want to do on the site. And I've been telling anybody who will listen to me for a long time, your write-ups, whether it's horse racing, whether it's NHL, what other sports do you do, Pat?
Golf.
Right.
So that's the third one. Yep.
Yeah. You're just extremely comprehensive. Like, I don't know if I've ever seen betting articles that are as long, but they're not like hard to digest, right? Like you kind of lay everything out in a really structured way. And when it comes to horse racing, I think that's really necessary. Golf too. And these are all sports where, you know, of course, I mean, I bet on the Triple Crown, but I don't like know too much about horse racing. And I'm sure that our you know, betting audience that I think is probably more, you know, common bettors, right? The common man. Yep. I like to call this the sports betting podcast for the common man. They don't have the time to like investigate all these horses and what their tendencies are and everything. So when you read an article, you know, not all these articles in the betting industry are created equal. So when I read one like yours, man, it's just really, really nice to get the whole structure and display in front of you so where you can comprehensively understand it. I really think you're one of the best in the game when it comes to that bet.
Yeah, I mean, coming from you, that means a lot. So I really appreciate that. And yeah, I mean, that was kind of the niche I wanted to break into kind of when I got into this industry was just giving people information that they can make informed decisions. And while obviously I'll provide my picks, if they see something in the article that they've kind of drawn towards when they have certain tendencies for betting, it's there and that can allow them to kind of make a decision on their own. So that's kind of the way I've gone about navigating this crazy industry pretty much.
Yeah. And I've always wanted to ask you this too, because I feel like your answer is either going to be really nuanced or you're going to say that you really don't have any exact way to approach it, because I feel like you are so objective in your articles. You know, you just kind of state the information. And then, of course, you have your angles. But is there any, I mean, first of all, I ask everybody who's on this podcast the first time, how did you get into sports betting in the first place? And then how did you develop your approaches? Like, are there, you know, ways that you like to look at these sports in ways that are different than other people? Like I always say, me with the NBA and the NFL, I do like to take the psychological approach, right? Like, so I evaluate all the data, right? You have to, those intangibles, especially in pro sports, I think really matter, especially in the biggest games. So that's where I tilt. Like, what is your style and how did you get into this whole thing?
Yeah. So, I mean, oddly enough, I kind of grew up around sports betting. My grandfather, and then it went to kind of my older cousins as well. So they were always gambling and then playing sports growing up. So it's kind of a mix of everything. You know, you're surrounded by it and you play the sports growing up. Obviously, I played golf, played hockey, several others. So kind of that was my lane into kind of eventually getting into sports gambling kind of a few years ago. So that's my start. But in terms of angles, I mean, it's so tough because it almost varies game to game of kind of analyzing not only the whole season itself, but kind of looking at those last 5 to 10 games in a microcosm and kind of seeing what is going on with this team itself. Are they trending in the right direction? Is there issues? Kind of trying to find enough information about this team where you can kind of make an informed decision of saying, hey, does this number make sense for, let's say, the Florida Panthers in this position, for instance? So, yeah, it varies game to game for sure. But, I just try to kind of take the most objective approach possible when it comes to selecting a side or a total kind of in a game. And then, obviously, for golf, it's kind of completely different based on that. So golf has to be more objective and kind of fact and trend based rather than hockey. Is, like you said, you can take that psychological approach too.
Yeah, I love it, man. I love it. And I think that's a really great way to structure your articles at the Oddsbreakers and wherever you share your takes. And let me ask you about those Florida Panthers while I have you here. I got some good friends. We call them the Florida Boys down in South Florida. Love to bet, but they love to bet on their Miami Heat, Florida Panthers, etc. You think that team has a chance to win it all? Because they're riding some crazy momentum right now.
Absolutely insane. I mean, you look at, let's go back to the regular season here, a week to go, they're in a playoff battle with Buffalo and Pittsburgh. They somehow finish 1 point against, unfortunately, my Buffalo Sabres. So they get in, they sneak in by a point. First round, they go down 3-1, and everyone's kind of thinking, yep, Boston had this historical season here. It's kind of the writing on the wall. 4-1, maybe 4-2 makes sense against the Panthers, because the Panthers do have an extremely good team. And obviously, Florida comes back, wins 4-3, and has ridden that momentum the past two games against Toronto, who just made it out of the first round for the past, 20 years, it's felt like. Interesting enough, I mean, this team has gone through some crazy turnover in the offseason. They traded Huberto and Uyghur out to Calgary, and they bring in they revamped their entire team. They have Bobrovsky there, who's been with the team for the past few years. He's eating a majority of their contract in net, which is a little unusual for kind of these playoff teams that we've seen. So he's getting 10 a year, which is extremely high for a goalie in the league who hasn't kind of shown that elite level talent in the past few seasons. But whatever is working with this team is working right now. They look absolutely fantastic. They're firing on all cylinders right now. They have the physical capabilities, and they also have the scoring that kind of backs them up. So, I mean, yeah, I can see this team making a run for sure. And based on a 2-0 lead against Toronto, it looks like they may be heading towards the Eastern Conference Finals.
That's – I know, exactly. I mean, and they opened up the first two games on the road, right?
Yes. Yeah. They split. Yeah. Absolutely crazy. They head back home to Florida to sweep the Leafs, which would be something.
I'm pulling for them and the Kraken. I mean, that's the first expansion team, right, to ever get this far.
So Vegas, a few years ago, 4 or 5, made it to the Stanley Cup Finals in their first year as a franchise. Okay. That's right. The Kraken, that's right. Last year, 2 years ago, was their first year. So in their second year, they made the playoffs and took down the defending Stanley Cup champion, Colorado Avalanche, who have had some issues of their own as of late with injuries, kind of off the ice stuff with certain players. So, absolutely crazy playoffs so far.
Well, Patrick Gates on the spot with the historical information. I like it. I like it. That okay. Let's get into the Kentucky Derby because that's what our audience really wants to hear about today. At least that's how we're advertising the show. Yeah. So we'll get to it here. But and I was telling you before the show, Pat, I'm going to approach this show really from the truthful standpoint of my own perspective because I haven't done any research on the Kentucky Derby yet. Obviously NBA playoffs, I'm capping MLB, soccer, there's a newborn over here. So it's just not something I got around to quite yet, but that's why you're here on the pod today. But I'm going to ask you a lot of questions like your average Joe, you know, who's heading to a bar at 6 o'clock, you know, hoping to get a good sight of the big screen TV and they can see all those superfectas, trifectas, whatever they want to do. That's how I'm going to approach it today and just ask you some basic high level questions, because I think one of the things that maybe isn't talked about enough is, you know, because you do think about exactas, right? Who's going to win, trifectas, superfectas. But how do you approach horse racing from a short-term and long-term perspective? So one race and then along the length of the Triple Crowns and horse racing in general, like what are your most typical bets? You know, like how does a pro bettor wager on a major horse race?
Yeah, I mean, I want to start off by saying horse racing itself is extremely volatile. So a pro bettor in horse racing is unlike anything else. And I'm not going to even classify myself as a pro bettor because you do have those syndicates and kind of guys who do this day in and day out. They're going to those random tracks in Pennsylvania, West Virginia. I mean, so I want to start off by saying that. But yeah, so horse racing is... It's weird because you have this historical information of the horses, right? So you're given the program, you have their past races, you kind of have their speed figures that you're looking at. And then you also have to factor in 15 other equations of where do they go off in that race, post position, how was the track, who are they going up against, who was on the jockey. So there's so many different things you have to factor in, but I'd say the main thing, if you're looking to kind of be successful in horse racing long-term, is you kind of have to try to be good at predicting the race. So you're looking at the paces from each of these 20 horses that are in the Derby here, a crazy number in this field. So what you're trying to do is predict the race and then factor in those other conditions to try to see who exactly has the best shot given kind of that value on their odds and where they may kind of end up come post time. So there's a lot of factors. It is difficult. I mean, we're betting on animals here. So when you really simplify it, we are betting on animals. So, yeah.
Right. We're betting on animals. And isn't there some kind of controversy right now? Because didn't a few horses die this week or so? Like, I know they weren't horses that were supposed to race, but what's going on with all that? Like, is that going to affect the race at all?
No, it shouldn't affect the race. So Churchill had one horse kind of pass away. What had happened was, I believe something happened in the kind of in the leg, which is typical for kind of horse injury itself, and then was carted off and kind of deemed that the injuries itself were irreplaceable. So instead of kind of letting the horse suffer in pain throughout his life, they kind of had to unfortunately put him down.
Gotcha. So let me ask you this, just in terms of pure betting, pure wagering on a major, you know, on one of the Triple Crowns. Yeah. What are the bets that Patrick Gates makes, right? Are they exactas, trifectas? Are they, not post position. Obviously we know that.
But yeah. Like a win play show.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it like horse versus horse, right? Like there are more things to bet on these days, right? It's almost, I mean, I don't know if you can get into like, I don't think it's comparable to fantasy sports, right? You can't quite get into horse racing like that, but I mean, horse versus horse, things like that. Like, are you looking at all kinds of ancillary ways to bet it, or are you more of a traditional horse bettor?
Yeah, I'd say I'm more traditional in terms of obviously, like you said, I mean, this race, they have more bets than kind of a typical 2 p.m. start at Saratoga on a Thursday. So
Right.
much more attention's paid to this race and deservedly so. But it's so hard to so this is a 20 horse field. Let's start with that, right? Most fields are going to be your 7 to 10 range, maybe 7 to 12 range, on kind of a typical day. So you add 20 horses in here with this amount of kind of pedigree, it is extremely difficult to hit a superfecta or a trifecta in a 7 to 12 horse field. You add 20 now. It is hard. And the past 2 years, last year, we had Rich Strike come in at 80-1, second longest odds ever to win. A few years prior, a 65-1 horse came in. So we've been seeing a ton of long shots come in. And when you kind of factor in those odds, hitting a superfecta makes it even harder. So what I'll usually do is I usually try to stick to kind of one or two win bets. They are kind of on more of the long shot side. So I typically, my approach is trying to beat the favorite if I can. And then I'll usually have a few exactas and maybe one try. So that's usually kind of my card for the Derby.
Now, what do you think some of the most common mistakes people make when they bet major horse races like this, right? I mean, I got some buddies who, and they would tell you that they have they have this like proven system, right, where they're like aligning different numbers in their exactas and superfectas. Doesn't seem very scientifically based. It doesn't seem very researched. But everybody has all kinds of superstitions about horse racing. Like, what do you most see when you're with your friends, when you hear about it? Probably on gambling Twitter. What are the easy mistakes that we can all avoid to lose money on this race?
Yeah, I'll start with a few of kind of the basic ones. Obviously, is just betting on the favorite, is kind of sticking with seeing those odds at 3 to 1, 4 to 1, 2 to 1, 9 to 5, etc., and kind of just sticking with the favorite, having the mindset of, oh, he's the favorite, so he's gonna win. That's not the case. It's rarely the case, as seen in the Derby here, especially. So I'd say kind of avoid betting on the favorite. And kind of look for value. It's going back to handicapping, kind of like you said, the NBA, the NHL, of kind of looking at that number and saying, hey, does this number correlate to this horse? And honestly, in the Derby, I don't think it does. So a little preview right there, but I'm not playing the favorite number 15, Forte, to win this Derby. The also thing is just kind of another few basic ones of just kind of betting on names. And then not kind of fully understanding the bet. Horse racing, there are bets that you have your exactas, you have your trifectas, and you can structure those in so many different ways. So kind of understanding what you're betting in. And then the last one, which is kind of a topic across the industry itself, of you've gotten these horse racing analysts on TVG, on FanDuel TV now, and kind of on Saratoga, but ticket construction. So I'm obviously I not full not I wouldn't say like I'm working on it, which is what I want everyone to know of. I'm never going to be the handicapper that says, hey, what you do is wrong. No, everyone has a different approach to everything, and especially in the Derby. Who would have had Rich Strike last year at 80-1? So if you somehow got that, your approach is clearly working. But so ticket construction, if you're going to play the favorite, let's say you're playing Forte to win this, you shouldn't really add another horse with it because that's going to kind of add it, especially in exotic. So if you're going to single Forte in an exacta, let's say, so you're going to have him up top over three horses. So $1 bet, 15 over, let's say the 1, 2, 3 is going to be $4. Where if you were to put Forte in the one horse up in the one position, and then you only have two horses that you can put in second. So kind of realizing how to structure a ticket effectively, I think, is another key piece in becoming kind of successful in horse racing, of kind of understanding how your betting approach should be.
Yeah, unit allocation, I feel like, takes on a whole
Exactly.
new definition, right, in horse racing, right?
Yep.
Because it just really, I mean, I think, for me, I try to diversify what I'm doing, but I have absolutely in the past been somebody who puts, you know, horses in spots that's like it's going against too much of my narrative, you know, or maybe I'm like filling in a second spot too much in like an exacta. You know, you really have to like look into the fine lines of what you're doing there. And, you know, again, if you're just doing this for fun and you're just looking to throw together a few numbers, fine. But the way you compose your actual wagers, right? Like that's a huge, huge part of it. So I'm really glad that you mentioned that. Let me ask you this just about the Kentucky Derby in general, because it's obviously the first of the Triple Crowns. It's what, a mile and a quarter? Is that right?
Mile and a quarter. Yep.
Mile and a quarter. So it's like the middle one, right? Because the Preakness a little shorter. The final leg, which why the hell can't I think of the name of that leg?
Belmont.
Oh my God, Pat, that was terrible. That was terrible. The Belmont Stakes. That's the longest, right? But so I imagine, now I'm just guessing sort of when I say this, but you tell me, because I'm imagining most of these horses, right? They've been racing for at least maybe the last few months, maybe longer than that. I mean, I know they're relatively young compared to other horses, but is there anything like leading up to this race, the Kentucky Derby? Like, obviously, it's the first leg of the Triple Crown. It's prominent. It's history. So the nerves are there way more than previous races. But are there anything that, like, leading up to the Kentucky Derby that bettors should be aware of as far as the way horses and their riders are looking at the Kentucky Derby? Like, what makes it different?
Yeah. So that's,
I know that's a deep question.
That's a little – it is. But trying – so to qualify for the Derby, obviously, there's prep races where – based on a first, second, or third place finish, you're allocated a certain number of points. So if you get kind of over that margin, you are qualified to be in the Derby. So obviously the prep races is something you're going to look at. That's kind of been a historical trend for winners here. But it is, like you mentioned before, a mile and a quarter here. None of these horses, have raced at a mile and a quarter before. So as you're kind of looking at this, you're looking at these horses of kind of, as they increased in distance. So the three-year-old horses, most of them outside of two have been racing since they were 2 years old. So kind of following their short careers now, most of them race probably 5 to 7 times. So trying to analyze what little information you have based on those 5 races is pretty tough. The Kentucky Derby, obviously this is kind of the biggest field that most of these horses have seen as well. So trying to figure out how they've done in their respective fields back then. And then again, just kind of looking at the post positions of, do they break well in the past or have they kind of had issues in their brief few starts that they have the possibility of kind of struggling to get out of the gate here and getting kind of caught behind early, which I'd say is less than ideal here, especially kind of given the predicted weather conditions.
Yeah. Which are what?
Little bit. Last time I checked, which is yesterday, they said AM showers and a little bit of a drizzle in the afternoon. So I don't think we're going to have kind of full on sloppy conditions here, but I do imagine it is going to be a little bit wet out there.
Got it. Okay. So let's get into some of these horses and their backstories here. Let me clarify. Did you say that? So none of these horses have raced in this long of a race, like a mile and a quarter. This is going to be their longest race.
That is correct. Yes.
Oh, that's interesting. And does any horse, I mean, obviously previous winners, like haven't they come back or is it like a one and done kind of thing?
So this race is only open to 3-year olds. Okay. So
and that changes?
No. Oh, okay. It's strictly 3-year olds here. Colts and fillies are allowed in here. So, but I think this field this year is all colts. So there's no girls in the field this year.
No girls. I know that was a big narrative from last year too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, why not?
Right. Yeah.
But that's interesting. Okay, cool. I mean, that's a really cool fact. I had no idea that, like, that makes sense when you're trying to assess the way they start, the way they close, which, by the way, teaser, all this information is at the Odds Breakers and Patrick Gates article on the Kentucky Derby. Extremely comprehensive, as always. So go and check that out if you haven't already. But that makes sense, right? So you're trying to evaluate in their previous races, just you know, how they've looked at every single segment of the race, right? And then you're trying to kind of construct that together, which must be so hard to do since this is the longest race that they've ever had. So that's really interesting. I'm not acting here, folks. I'm learning on the job here with Pat. So this is awesome. So let's get into some of these horses and their backstories. I want to ask you about the dark horses, pun intended, of this race, like who you think has some great value long shots. But before that, which horses interest you from a realistic standpoint and, you know, as a great betting companion, great value, but they could really win this one?
Yeah, so I'll start with the 10 here, Practical Move. So he's ridden by Ramon Vasquez here. So he's won his last three starts, going back kind of more recent history. He won the Santa Anita, the Grade One Santa Anita Derby, defeating kind of two other fellow entrants in this race. And then prior, he won the San Felipe Grade Two Stakes. And then the third most recent, he won the Los Alamitos Grade Two. So he's been racing well. He's been kind of increasing in distance. He started a mile and 16th, a mile and 16th in the San Felipe Stakes, and then handled the jump to a mile and an eighth there pretty well. So he has been, and his speed figures have kind of shown that he's liked that increase in distance here. So I do like the 10 horse as well. His workouts have been pretty good recently as well. So I think he can handle this distance very, very nicely, actually. So I like the 10 horse, Practical Move at 10-1. He's certainly one of my favorites.
Got it.
Yep. And then the other horse that I like here is the number 14, Angel of Empire. He's coming off a win in the Arkansas Derby at a mile and an eighth. And then he also won the Risen Star Grade Two Stakes at a mile and an eighth as well. So he's kind of seemed like, as well, just like Practical Move, he's enjoyed the increase in distance as well, and has already defeated kind of several other fellow competitors in this field. So those are kind of the two horses I'm looking at to win here in this in the Derby.
Nice. I'm seeing Angel Empire's 8-1. Those are damn good odds. And for whatever reason, I'm on CBS. Maybe I should switch to something else. But it says Practical Move. It says SCR by their odds.
He's out.
Is he out?
He's scratched then. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I didn't see that this morning, huh?
Yeah. So no more Practical Move, I guess. Practical nothing.
Yeah.
Do you got maybe one more that you would throw in there then in his place?
Yeah. Sorry, just saw that now. So
that's fine. Hey, I mean, all we need is one. We got Angel Empire, but just, you know, don't want to force you into it, Pat. But if you have another one that you think is possible.
Yeah. So I'll go to the other one that I had here kind of circled.
Besides Forte. Fuck Forte.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen, he's the favorite for a reason, right? He's won his last five races, including three Grade One Stakes, four Grade One Stakes, excuse me. And he's the only horse to do so. So he is the favorite here for a reason, but I don't particularly love him to win. I probably may throw him in an exotic and an exacta, because I do think he can hit the board here, but I don't think he's going to win this race. I'll throw a long shot here. Number 9, Skinner.
So love that name.
Yeah, absolutely great. So he's the son of a previous Derby winner, Curlin.
Oh, here. Pat, you know what? It says Skinner scratched too.
Oh, my goodness.
This came out. Yeah, this article came out 35 minutes ago. So, hey, we're live on Laying the Points.
Yeah, this is
that's
live.
That's wild. You're picking out all the scratches.
Yeah, they know I was onto them. They knew they were winning, so they had to scratch them. But
clearly the bookies and, you know, the Derby, the prominence of Kentucky Derby, they knew Laying the Points was going to be aired today, and they were like, we gotta get a lead on this guy. So thank you all for watching, but just let Pat do his thing, please.
Yeah.
So I'll just tell you this, Patrick. just in case you pick Lord Miles or Continuar, those are also scratched. So,
my goodness.
Yeah. So any other horses that you think? I'm sorry about that. This is late breaking news.
Yeah, Lord Miles. Wow. Yeah. So, trying to going down my list here.
We're gonna have to edit that Housebreakers article.
Yeah, apparently so. the six horse King's Barn here. So he's ridden by Jose Ortiz, who's been one of the more dominant jockeys kind of in the past few years across all tracks here. So this is one of the weird scenarios here of this horse hasn't raced as a 2 year old. So he only has three races in his history here. If he is able to win, he'll become the third horse in Kentucky Derby history to win without having raced as a 2 year old. The most recent, obviously, Justify in 2018. But looking at King's Barn here, his speed figures have gone in the right direction, right? He's increasing in distance as well, and he's won all three races. He's also defeated Disarm and Jace's Road in his last race as well. Pletcher has some Derby history here. And I think at 12-1, obviously those odds are going to shift given kind of the few scratches that we've had. But I do like King's Barn as a little bit of a dark horse in the Derby here as well.
I love that. And the speed increasing now, it worked for Justify. So it doesn't happen very often. Why does a jock or why does an owner do that? They're just like letting him rest because they're building power, or they just maybe took a year off.
In terms of what? So use of the speed figures.
No. Like, why didn't they let him? Like, why didn't he race as a 2 year old?
Yeah. So I think it's different for each horse, right? So the trainer's obviously in charge of that in terms of development. Maybe there's issues in kind of the brief trainings they had. He struggled getting out of the gate, or he just kind of wasn't showing that speed that they thought was kind of ready to put him in a race or so. So there's several other factors, and obviously I'm sure you can find a few articles, but for the most part, the trainers are kind of in charge of when they're allowing that horse to kind of first step foot on the track.
Gotcha. Okay. Now I know our listeners just want to hear one more thing from you, Pat, and then we'll let you go. At Gator Betting, everybody. And again, check out his articles at the Odds Breakers. I don't think you'll find nearly anyone else in the industry that compares to the way that he structures them. He's second to none, in my opinion. And check out Expected Bets, his recurring podcast on the NHL and other sports that he handicaps. Let me just ask you this one more question, Pat. Of all these, the greatest or the least odds, I should say, from Reincarnate, Sun Thunder, Raise Kane, King Russell, and Jace's Road, I'm showing all 50-1. In your position, are you like, there's no way I'm touching those horses, Chris? You'd have to be crazy. Or are one of those horses a little interesting as far as maybe that you could just throw them at the end of a superfecta or exacta?
Yeah, so I'll give you a different one, a 30-1. Cyclone Mischief. Obviously, he's in now given the scratches here. He finished third in the Florida Derby, his last out, losing to Forte and Mage. So he's shown he kind of has the ability. He lost by three lengths there. Did run third here as well. Like I said, kind of looking at that increase in distance, his speed figures have followed as well. He's had two good races, and while he hasn't won them, he's finished third. Forte has defeated him in both those races. So I think he can hit the board here. I kind of like who's on it. Rosario's great jockey who's on him as well. Dale Roman's the trainer. And then kind of just looking at his pedigree as well, which is pretty nice. So I wouldn't be shocked if you see that 21 Cyclone Mischief make his way into kind of the top of the board.
I love the way you navigated that. I love the way you navigated that, because I asked you about the, you know, least odds, and you just went right over that to another one who is same bucket, but just a little more realistic there, Chris.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, hey, if you're going to go for a long shot, just throw them at the end. I mean, that increases your exacta superfecta odds exponentially, right? So who knows? Could happen for Cyclone Mischief. Man, I knew that I was going to keep you here longer than I thought I would have, because there's so much to talk about. Really appreciate the takes on the NHL, Kentucky Derby. Everybody check him out at Gator Betting. And Pat, sorry it took you so long for me to bring you on here to Lighten the Points, but I really want to have you back soon, maybe for a major golf tournament.
Yeah, no, that I really appreciate being on here. And yeah, I mean, we still have three majors to go in golf. So obviously next one's PGA Championship in a few weeks. So yeah, I'd look forward to that as well.
Awesome, man. I'll talk to you soon, Pat.
Appreciate All right. Being on. Thanks, Chris.
See you, buddy.